and won't be preaching tonight on the subject of all those different things that we could title it as. We could look at it as a cure for depression. The other thing would be what to do when you're depressed. The word depression is such a big word. A lot of times I think that a person may say, well, I'm depressed. I'm dealing with depression. And that indeed may be the case, but a lot of times I think the word discouraged may better identify what they're struggling with. But depression is such a buzz term in our day. It could be a matter of actual depression. It may just be a bad case of the blues. You ever have that? A bad case of the blues. That's the step just before being discouraged, okay? And discouragement is what comes a couple steps before actual depression. And then you want to really get technical. Now you can talk about depression, your everyday variety, or you can talk about clinical depression. You say, well, what's the distinction between all of them? I just told you everything I know about them. Okay, so you'll have to Google it to learn more, or whatever search engine you use, okay? You are aware that not every facial tissue is a Kleenex, okay? You see, Kleenex is a brand name, but it has become synonymous with facial tissues, okay? And you say, what? How did we get to that from depression? And I'm trying to remember how we got there. But there are a lot of terminologies that are used, okay, that are used in a very broad or generic sense. And so when I talk about the matter of going to deal with tonight from Psalm 3, the matter of depression, maybe just a bad case of the blues would be more what it is. But when you go through Psalm 3, you'll understand why the term depression was used to start with. But let me give you some background to this message and to Psalm 3. Now, if you have your Bible open, you may notice under Psalm 3, it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And therein is what caused David to be in a condition that I'm identifying as depressed because of what had taken place. So I want to give you some background. You would have to turn, and we're not going to take the time tonight, you would have to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 14, 15, 16, I think 17. To get the full picture about what is being dealt with in Psalm 3 by David regarding his son Absalom. Now I said we're not going to turn to it, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And before chapter 15, all right, now I'm not able to find the particular verse that I wanted, but it says that Absalom was a really handsome guy, okay? Absalom was a very good-looking man. And those good looks got him into trouble. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that's good-looking is going to have trouble. But in Absalom's case, it was
1425.
All right, got to get to the right chapter, 14 and 25. Yes, but in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty, from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. I mean, this was one good-looking dude, okay? He was the kind of fella that when he walked in the group, all of the girls noticed him, okay? And some of the ladies, too, using that term girl and ladies to distinguish between age, okay? Absalom was something else. Now, many people are familiar with the fact that he had a lot of hair. He had long hair. And in verse 26, it says, "And when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it." Well, now we're coming up on an election, okay? And I'm trying to figure out what Absalom's talking about an election for when it talks about his hair. Well, obviously, this is where the dictionary comes in helpful. Even an English dictionary, because I soon figured it out, because I'm sharp as I am. I knew it had to do with cutting his hair. And so he only got his hair cut once a year. And according to the weight that's identified here, it was about 6 pounds every year when he cut his hair, and they weigh it. It was about 6 pounds. You know, I'd be happy with a quarter pound of hair.
Yeah,
that's
still a lot of hair.
Yeah. But in 2 Samuel 15 and verse 13, it says, "And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." Absalom was the third son of David. You know, David would have kept himself from a lot of trouble if he'd have been satisfied with the way God started it. God made Adam, and then he made Eve. And he didn't make Eve marry Susie.
Come on.
Okay, and however many others. God made Adam and he made Eve, and that was all. And he stopped there. And Absalom was his third son. And Absalom had several brothers, and he had a sister named Tamar. Now, they all had a different mother, and therefore they didn't have the kind of brother-sister respect and relationship that a mother and father who have sons and daughters and those children have for each other. So Absalom was the third son. He had a sister, Tamar. Now, Absalom had a brother named Amnon. Tamar was also very attractive. And Absalom said, "Amnon's not doing so well. Why don't you, Tamar, go over there and make something for him to eat?" And so she went. Well, Absalom didn't know what Amnon was going to do. And my opinion is that Amnon had been watching his sister Tamar. And when she came over to make him some food, He took advantage of her. And he said, Amnon said to Tamar, come lie with me. And she said, don't do this. This is not right. This is not the way it is in Israel. And he said, Tamar said to Amnon, if you go ask our father, he'll give me to you. Okay? Now, they were only half siblings. They didn't have the issues, apparently, in that day, like it exists in our day, as far as siblings marrying. Bottom line is, Tamar said, he'll give me to you. He didn't want to wait. He wanted her then and now. And so he took her, he forced himself on her, and then this rascal, Amnon, after he had violated his sister, you know what it says? It says he hated her. He hated her. He hated her more than he loved her. Now, he never loved her in a true sense of love. He lusted for her. But that's the term the Bible used, okay? As much as he loved her, I gotta have her. I wanna have her. He took her. And then afterwards, he hated her. I think there's a lesson to be learned in that, okay? And so, but anyway, this really got Absalom upset. I would imagine Absalom felt perhaps somewhat guilty because he sent Tamar over there to feed Amnon. He had no idea what he was going to do. So Absalom set out, and he didn't do it right away. He was patient, and he waited for the right time, and he invited Amnon to come, and he was going to feast Amnon, and then he killed Amnon. Well, he didn't. He told his servants, when he comes, nobody's going to be around here. You go ahead, and you kill him. And they did what he said. So Absalom assassinated. That's a nice term for killed, okay? He killed him. When Amnon was his guest, and that he was his guest at deceit. Boy, I'll tell you, you read just that incident, and you have got such a political mess. We ought not wonder why things are the way they are between leaders in our history, okay? In the history of the world, it's been that way ever since. Ever since when? Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and brought sin into the world. Well, after Absalom had Amnon killed, he went in to 3 years of exile. And then he was allowed to visit his royal father, King David, after 3 years. He had a good visit with him. But he was still banished from the royal court for 2 more years. You see, Absalom had a problem. We know that God intended for Solomon to be the heir of the throne of King David. And Absalom wasn't happy about that. And just as we read in verse 13 of chapter 15, there came a messenger to David saying that the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And Absalom, I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm doing it. In chapter 15, verse 2, it says, Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. Now, see, the gate is where all important matters took place and transpired. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, so they were coming to see David. Absalom would, hey, come on over here. What are you here for? Well, this and such happened, you know. Maybe a land dispute, maybe a financial matter, whatever it was. And Absalom then called him to him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, the servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right. Hey, I understand what you just said. I agree with you. You know, you were done dirty. That ought not to be. But there is no man made deputy, of the king to hear thee. And Absalom said, here it is, watch this. Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him justice. I would do him justice. Absalom, he was not only a scoundrel in that he had Amnon killed, and I can understand how he felt. Okay, I can identify with the feelings of Absalom, but not with the actions. Not with the actions. Because what Absalom did, he set out to undermine his own father. Oh man, I'm telling you, this family's something else. Just about the time you want to look at some government leaders, whether it's today in our country or go back in our history, or you go into Europe, my goodness, go into Europe and read about some of the kings and queens of England. Oh my goodness, what a mess. Well, that's what sin does.
Yes, sir.
That's what sin does. You know what it does it in ordinary families?
Yeah.
May not be kings and queens, but you'll have brothers and sisters that they'll go about to do each other dirty over some inheritance.
That's right.
Okay? or over some land. Daddy gives so-and-so land, but he didn't give me land. Or he didn't give me as much land as he gave my brother. And boy, there sets some real vengeance amongst them. And that's just not right. And I'll tell you what's even worse than what I just described. When it happens between professed Christians. I can understand it when the world and the unsaved act that way. I'd expect them to. But it is absolutely wrong when Christians act that way. That's why God said Christians shouldn't take each other to court.
That's right.
They ought to let such matters be settled by the believers and by the church in our day. Settled by the church. Oh, I can imagine that. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that, that actually happening. You know, Christians are so out of touch with God and the Word of God that if there was a dispute within their family, if they came to the church, if the church were to decide, one of them would be upset, stomp out of the church, and call them all a bunch of hypocrites. Okay? If they even came to start with. Okay? Now, I think that's what they ought to do. That's what the Bible says should happen. But, you know, in order for God's way to work, listen to me, in order for God's way to work, God's people, all of them, have to be living by the Word. The Word won't work if you don't live by it, if you don't submit yourself to it. I haven't even gotten off of page one. And page one was just the background. I got a 3-part sermon here, John. I didn't know that when I started. So there were two men that Absalom didn't like. And if you read all those chapters that through to 18 and even into 19, 2 Samuel starting at 13 and through 19, there's two men in there that Absalom didn't like. The one with Ahithophel. Okay, Ahithophel. Now, aren't you glad your name's Ron?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Can you imagine if you went to school today and you were named Ahithophel? Oh, you would have nothing but grief. And but anyway, there were two men that Absalom didn't like. One was Ahithophel. He gave Absalom foolish advice. Okay? And then the other one is Hushai. Okay? Now, he sounds Oriental to me, but he wasn't. Hushai. And he gave David good advice. You have to read those chapters in order to see how they fit into the picture. If you like murder mysteries, okay, you like to read murder mysteries, you read 2 Samuel 13 through 19. Because you like to read and figure out the plot. It's got it. It's all there. Hey, this is the book that says there's nothing new under the sun, isn't it?
Huh?
All right. So Absalom's vanity was his end. Let's go to chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Let's make sure I got the right one here. Okay, and we're at the right place. Now, you listen as I read it or follow it in your Bible as I read, all right? 2 Samuel 18, verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thicket boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. He was dangling in midair, okay? And the mule that was under him, he went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab. Now, Joab was a general of David, and he was David's man, okay? He was David's man. He told, a certain man saw it. He told Joab, and behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and thou sawest him, why didn't you kill him? Smite him, okay, there to the ground. I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. All right. Now, so there's this big thicket. Absalom's out. He comes across David's army. Whoa, I didn't expect to meet them here. So they didn't use saddles back in that day. So he just took his heel, kicked it into the mule, and tried to take off through the thickets. Now, any of you that hunt deer know what the thickets are, okay? And there's deer in there, but you can't see them. And when you venture into them, you can barely get yourself through them, okay? And by the time you might see one, they heard you, and they're gone, okay? Deer, they're gone. And that's the case here. Now, how did Absalom get caught?
By his hair.
Hair. You read that. Doesn't say anywhere. That's what I thought too. Okay. But I'm reading for tonight. As a matter of fact, my notes have hair. He got caught by the hair. His vanity got him, did him in. I read that. I didn't read anything there about hair. So I read it again. Then I got out my... Bible dictionary, and looked up Absalom, and I read what the Bible dictionary had to say about Absalom. You know what it said? The Bible dictionary said just what the Bible says. Got his head caught. Doesn't say he got his hair caught. Not, oh man, I always heard he got his hair caught. You know, all them preachers I've heard, they couldn't be wrong. Yeah, they could. Not only could, they were. I went back through that and I read and I read and I did not read hair. Now, it is supposed that because he had the long hair, and as he would have been riding, it would have been flowing, and therefore it got caught in the tree. Now, where's he riding? He's riding in the thicket. How fast do you think he could be going? Not fast enough to make his hair blow. Yeah, and he's riding a mule. That's another thing. This was not a horse. I'm not going to preach a whole message that it wasn't the hair. But it wasn't the hair. Okay? Now you can listen. Here's what else I did. Now, you're not supposed to do this. Don't do this. This is a no-no. I went to my commentaries. And half of them said his head got caught in the crook of a tree. And the other half said hair. But you know how they came to hair? And I have to acknowledge where I got this from, or I'd be plagiarized, okay? And so they surmise, was the one word. Mm-hmm. We surmise that because of his vanity about his hair, now they just made a great big leap, okay? That from surmising that because he was vain about his hair was part of doing him in. You see how they're influenced?
Try.
But when you look at it, you will not find hair even mentioned. Other than back in chapter 14, when the election was coming and they polled him. Now, let's go to Psalm 3. All right? Psalm 3. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, Absalom was not dead at this point. When David heard that Absalom was killed, Joab, okay? Joab, the faithful general. Joab took 3 darts. Now, when it says darts, I immediately picture a round disc and darts. Okay? They were at least that. It's possible they'd have been bigger. I didn't have time to look up and find out what the darts were. But he took 3 of them. Joab was a general in the army of King David. And he knew where to place those 3 darts. He said, "You're getting awful graphic, Pastor. You seem to be enjoying this." Yeah. You perceived that right. When Absalom would undermine his own father to take away his kingdom, okay, killed his own brother, though his brother definitely did wrong. He could have gotten justice for him differently.
That's right.
Okay, he could have gotten justice for him, for his sister, differently. He took them 3 darts, and he knew right where to place them. In the heart. In the heart. Now, I don't know. I didn't have time. I don't know if it could even be learned. Did he stand back and throw them? You see, when it says darts, I think of throwing darts at a dartboard. Did he throw them? Or were they such as he just walked up and in goes the first one? But apparently, Absalom wasn't totally dead. Okay? The reason I say it that way, because when you read the account, then the men with Joab finished him off. Now, to people who feel that the Bible, that God is just a gray-haired, bearded, elderly fella who is just so meek and mild. People who think that are going to be appalled at the description that's given here. Okay? But you got to read it in its context and the whole story. And you've got to realize that the, now listen to me, listen, you get this clear. Those of you that are listening on live streaming, you get this clear. I don't believe that we can look at a story like this, find what we think is a comparable situation, and go about to deal with it the way it was dealt with in Absalom and Joab and all of the rest, okay? We have a different set of laws. We have a different court system that we live under. We have different ways that we handle things. And we that must be remembered. I don't want anybody to think that they can go out and do something wrong, sinful, wrong, simply because of something that they read here in the Bible. Of course, in the day we're living in, they're rewriting the whole of our country. Good night. If the leftists get hold of the Bible, you know what will be left? About that much. Because they would do away with everything. But oh, the books. Now this is off of the subject. The books that could be written, they would set out to change this Bible and what it says because it didn't live up to their expectations or determinations. They're ignorant. Ignorance means without knowledge. Because if they go and read of every communistic country, they would learn that books, volumes, not just one book, books, volumes have been written that show how communism has been guilty of everything that they would want to complain about our forefathers and present people of committing. I heard a book reviewed on all, of all places, NPR. And it's, I think the title of it, Wild Swan, Golden Swan, not sure which, but it's a book about three generations of in China, of Christians, not Christians, of people, three generations in the Communistic Party. The one that helped to bring it in, the one that helped to establish it, and then the author of the book who escaped to England and told what it was like. The middle generation learned that they were merely pawns being used for the elites of the party. Okay? And that nothing had changed from the dastardly leaders that they overcame. And I say it was China, but now I'm not even sure that it was China. But it's a fascinating book, fascinating. I heard it reviewed on NPR, and I sent and I bought it and I read it, and it's a thick book. It's every bit as thick as the Bible that you're holding, and just showed that the things that today people say, well, we're going to change it. We're going to take the bad things out of America, and we're going to make it good. Good like what? What communistic country? Good like what socialistic country? All right, now I told you I'm off of here. I'm going to that. Now I'm off of that and going to here. So you say I can't follow it. That's all right. I understand it totally. Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. You see, Absalom had gotten so many people on his side that he was able to pull off what was an insurrection against his father. And now David would have had the followers to support him, but it would have meant that he, the top general as David was, okay? Remember, God didn't let David build the temple because David was a warrior. And so he didn't let him build it. But he would have been able to put down Absalom. But what do we say? Two wrongs don't make a right, huh? You see, the fact that his son undermined him and wanted to take over the kingdom, it wouldn't have made it right for David to go into war against his son and bring about the death of his son. As a matter of fact, I read earlier by one of Joab's men who said, I wasn't going to kill Absalom because we heard David say, don't do him any harm. And Joab did him harm. Joab took his life. Okay, now, that put David into a state of depression. Okay, because you may have been wondering, where is the title, The Cure for Depression, coming out of all of this? There it is, okay? When David heard that Absalom was killed, he went into a state of depression. And he did mourn. And he did weep. And he could not function. Okay. Joab was his faithful general. And Joab left David have his time to weep and to mourn. And again, you have to go back to 2 Samuel and read it. And Joab came into him, and I don't know just exactly what all he said. I don't even remember what it is written or what it says, but it was to this effect. King David, enough's enough. You grieving the way you are about Absalom's death, it are disrespecting all of the people of Israel who stood with you and stood for you and stood by you. And it's time to think about them. Now, this was the king. The king could have said, Joab, up to now, I liked you, but this is it. But no, in spite of all of his weaknesses and all of his failings, David is called a man after God's own heart. And therefore, David heard what Joab said, And David responded to what Joab said. And he came out of his state of depression. And he began to conduct himself in a manner that was more in order for the king to do. And so, we're not at the point in Psalm 3 of Absalom's death. We are simply reading, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. All of those people that went with Absalom, they rose up against him. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. What I'm reading there, what I'm hearing there, okay, my ears are hearing it, is God's with Absalom now. There's no help for David with God. God's gone over and he's endorsing Absalom. That's what Absalom wanted. And that's what Absalom played on. Those kind of sympathies with the people. That, again, my opinion, I don't think that those who were loyal to David went over to Absalom. But have you ever noticed whenever there's a leader, there's people that don't like them? And those are the ones that you can get first off to go with another person. And that's what was happening here. And so, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. You know, he can look to other people and he can try and get his mighty soldiers around him. And at one place, Absalom said, we can't go up against him because if we go against him, his mighty men will win the victory. Well, the old clock on the wall says that it's time to stop for tonight. We'll come back to Psalm 3. And I'll give a quick recap of verse 1 and 2, and then we'll go into verse 3 and 4. But read 2 Samuel, starting at, I think it's 13 is the very beginning. But you know, you look, it is 13. All right, 13. And you read that on through to through 18, and I know I read in the beginning of 19, but then I stopped reading, so I don't know how much 19 has, okay? But I think you'll find it interesting, for sure. All right, thank you for watching on live streaming, and that concludes our service.
Why don't we have the business meeting very quick?
Yes,
do that. And then we can take prayer.
Sure, yes.
Mrs. Hain, I would wonder this, though. I know you sent some food over. Is it the same thing he ate tonight? I'll probably eat some before Sunday school. Real quickly, two things that I want to bring up in this business meeting. Number one, we're going to have Vincent Blanchard and his wife in here, missionaries to China. As it's my understanding, you've paid off the missionaries through the year? Okay. So we've got quite a bit of money in the mission account. Do I have anybody